And I'm going to give you fair warning. I think tomorrow night I have an item from Morgan's Mystery Box that is really going to have you stumped. So we'll do that a whole bit starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Morgan's Mystery Box, Matt Castle, Matt Cordy, and Tom Morgan. Myself, with you from 8 to 11 tomorrow night right here at KOIN Portland. Have a good night. It's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. A big decision is coming from Washington on Wednesday whether to allow the Concorde supersonic airliner to land in the United States. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. It's a very important decision for Britain and France and possibly for America's relations with those two staunch allies. Those countries built the Concorde, and it probably won't be a profitable venture unless it can fly to and from the United States. British and French officials have hinted that relations with the U.S. could deteriorate if the American government says no to the Concorde. It's a dilemma for Transportation Secretary William Coleman, who makes his decision public on Wednesday. Coleman must take into account objections from environmentalists, who say the Concorde is too noisy and causes damage to the vital ozone layer above the Earth. The House on Wednesday may vote on a controversial bill to decontrol the price of natural gas. The Senate has already approved such a measure, and President Ford has indicated he wants the action taken. On Tuesday, the House cleared the bill for action. Proponents say it is needed to stimulate production. Opponents say it could mean sharply higher heating bills for consumers. More news in a moment.
The most explosive novel of human survival since the Towering Inferno begins here on Phoenix Island, off the northwestern United States. No one at the elegant house party is aware that 9 hours earlier, a nuclear explosion thousands of miles away created tsunami, a killer tidal wave now roaring across the Pacific toward Phoenix Island. There are survivors. 6 men and 3 women in a desperate struggle to stay alive, facing the primitive truth about themselves and each other. Phoenix Island, Charlotte Poole's unforgettable novel of lust and greed, passion and courage. Phoenix Island, the new paperback bestseller from Signet.
There are reports that 2 Indians have been shot and killed in Neopit, Wisconsin, in the Menominee area where Indians last year seized the Alexian Brothers Monastery. One of the Indians allegedly killed was a defendant in the trial resulting from that seizure. One report says the shooting took place as a result of a domestic quarrel and that a sheriff's deputy was wounded. Secretary of State Kissinger says Angola represents the first time the Soviet Union has moved militarily at long distances to impose a regime of its own. Kissinger said massive interference in the African nation by Russia and Cuba is of urgent concern and will be met by active diplomatic maneuvers. As the war in Angola continues to go badly for pro-Western forces, there are reports mercenaries are arriving there in large numbers. Some of them are reportedly coming from Britain. Bob Dyke has a report from London.
London police stopped and searched a busload of British mercenaries who are reportedly scheduled to leave for Angola this week. Police were looking for illegal firearms, but no weapons were found, and the mercenaries were released. British authorities have been keeping an eye on the recruitment and transportation of mercenaries, most of whom are former servicemen in their 20s and 30s. Tonight's busload was part of a group of 100 men who had arrived at a London railway station from out of town. They refused to talk to reporters, and several tried to hide their faces from the cameras. The organization chiefly responsible for recruiting British mercenaries to fight in Angola has been attempting to keep a tight security wrap around its activities. The organization, based outside of London, does not like its recruits referred to as mercenaries, though each man is highly paid by British standards, reportedly in U.S. dollars. Bob Dyke for CBS News, London.
In San Francisco, a pool of 36 jurors has now been picked. From this group, the 12 jurors and 4 alternates for the trial will be selected. Defense attorney F. Lee Bailey got permission from the judge to have a skull x-ray of Ms. Hurst. Bailey says he wants to find out if she might have a hairline fracture. Bailey has indicated he intends to link Ms. Hurst's plight as a kidnapped victim to her actions in taking part in the robbery. In Cincinnati Tuesday, a federal appeals court listened to arguments by attorneys for James Earl Ray, who is serving 99 years after pleading guilty to the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King. Ray wants a new trial. Now this.
He likes it, and he asks for it by name, Fleischmann's. He says he wants Fleischmann's.
Mrs. Don Morrow talking with Mrs. Madeline Eller. She and her husband are both Fleischmann's margarine fans. Madeline, why do you prefer Fleischmann's?
It's made from 100% corn oil.
And it's the only leading margarine that is. What about taste?
It's creamy, it's rich, it's light tasting.
So you use Fleischmann's?
All the time. For anything. Any recipes on bread, crackers, any kind of sandwiches, cooking, using on vegetables, anything that you could think of using it for, I prefer Fleischmann's.
Then if I were someone who used some other leading brand?
I would tell you to try Fleischmann's. It's 100% corn oil.
And Fleischmann's is high in polyunsaturates. And, of course, it's low in saturated fat and has no cholesterol. To sum up, Fleischmann's is...
great. Terrific. Delicious. Good tasting.
Hear that? Listen to Madeline Eller and enjoy Fleischmann's, the only leading margarine made from 100% corn oil.
A top Pentagon official says the Soviet Union is striving hard to gain a nuclear weapon superiority that could significantly change the strategic balance with the United States. Dr. Malcolm Currier, research director for the Defense Department, says Soviet missile development has doubled in the last 5 years. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, two attorneys spent all day testifying before a trial board of the Oregon Bar Association here in the Rose City today. The bar has charged Clackamas County District Attorney Roger Rook with unethical and unlawful conduct in connection with his handling of 1972 gambling charges against 15 Oregon City Elks Lodge members. He's charged with refusing to negotiate with the defendants as long as they were represented by the two attorneys, Phil Ringel and Ronald Tom, or any members of their law office. Oregon Public Utility Commissioner Charles Davis says deficiencies noted in an audit of the PUC have been corrected. The audit by the Secretary of State's office covered a 28-month period beginning in February of 1973 and cost the PUC more than $31,000. Republican candidate for Oregon Attorney General Tuck Wilson proposed today that certain types of murder carry a mandatory 20 to 30-year prison term rather than the death penalty. Tuck Wilson, a former Assistant Secretary of State, also suggested that judges be given the power to set maximum prison terms during which the prisoner would not be eligible for parole. Democrats in the Washington House have failed to reach agreement on tax increases to raise additional money for schools and a higher level of state spending. However, Majority Leader Alan Thompson of Kelso says he expects the Democratic caucus to reach a decision no later than tomorrow. Association of O&C Counties may get more support in opposing a $182 million federal court lawsuit filed by Clackamas County, which seeks to recover money it contends it loses in timber receipts. And the Japanese ship Star Asahi will arrive at the port of Astoria about February 10th with about 11,500 metric tons of bulk ammonium sulfate fertilizer. It's supposed to be used primarily by farmers in western and central Oregon. Weather forecast, mostly cloudy tonight. Fair after some brief morning clouds tomorrow and Thursday with a cooling trend. Low near 30 tonight, in the mid-20s tomorrow night. High tomorrow in the mid-30s, cooling to near 30 on Thursday. Winds north to northeasterly, 10 to 20 miles per hour later tonight and tomorrow. And the chance of measurable precipitation, 10% or less through Wednesday night. The current temperature is 33 degrees. I'm Tom Morgan. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio.
KOIN Portland, and it's 11 o'clock.
CBS News. Air Canada has canceled all flights as the Canadian Airline Pilots Association refuses to fly in the controversy over use of French in air traffic control radio transmissions. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Air Canada tried to maintain some semblance of normal operations Tuesday, but failed to do so, and now has thrown in the sponge, as we hear from Rick Hunt in Vancouver.
Canada's major airline, Air Canada, has shut down all its operations because of a walkout by its commercial pilots. The airline says that 12,000 employees will be laid off by Friday if the pilots do not return to their jobs. CP Air, the country's second-largest airline, based in Vancouver, is still trying to carry on limited overseas operations, but all its domestic flights are at a standstill. The third-largest carrier, Pacific Western Airlines, also based in Vancouver, is laying off more than 2,000 of its employees. Smaller airlines across the country are taking similar action. The pilots say that flying is unsafe because of the dispute between the Canadian government and air traffic controllers over bilingualism in ground-to-air communications in Quebec. Rick Hunt for CBS News, Vancouver.
A Canadian federal court judge has ordered the Pilots Association into court on Wednesday to show cause why it should not be held in contempt of court for defying an injunction against the strike entering its third day. The first break in the strike of state employees in Massachusetts appears to be developing at a Boston sewage treatment plant where picket lines are being taken down. Pickets still are posted, however, at hospitals and prisons. Leaders of the Alliance, a coalition of striking public service unions, still are meeting, presumably deciding how to respond to a court order to end the strike by 6 a.m. or go to jail. CBS News continues following this message.
When you finished putting up a picket fence, and putting up a picket fence about finished you, then it's time for country time.
It's time for country time, it's time for country time. The lemonade tastes of good old-fashioned country time.
It's time for new Country Time lemonade-flavored drink mix. Anytime you worked up an old-fashioned thirst for the taste of old-fashioned lemonade, new Country Time from General Foods in the yellow and brown can.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing America's bicentennial birthday weekend on the CBS Radio Network. America, This I Believe, the 35 broadcast bicentennial special with CBS News Dan Rather, July 3rd, 4th, and 5th. CBS News spoke with people across the country to find out what they feel about our nation. Hear them on America, This I Believe, our big bicentennial July 4th weekend special from CBS News with Dan Rather on the CBS Radio Network. A battalion of Sudanese soldiers, between 500 and 800 men, is reported on its way to Lebanon, there to join the growing pan-Arab peacekeeping force. Arab League Secretary General Mahmoud Riyad said Sudanese and Somalian troops also will be moving in. Despite the presence of Libyan and Syrian troops in the first peacekeeping force contingent, now in place near Beirut Airport, a six-hour artillery and mortar exchange between Muslim leftists and Christians was reported Tuesday night in Beirut's eastern zone. But conditions became sufficiently stable on the road to Damascus for a British-arranged motorcade of refugees to leave the battle zone. More on that from CBS News correspondent Bob McNamara.
The convoy pulled into Syria 7 hours after leaving Beirut. There were nearly 25 cars and 4 buses, all loaded with personal effects, the things people felt too valuable to abandon. Drivers in the convoy said there was no trouble along the way. No shooting, no shelling, no hostility. The long drive went over dirt roads, through mountain passes, and cars were always overheating. 2 Frenchmen, whose car broke down, were left behind near Sidon. The 2 men said they felt lost. When they repaired their car, they said they chose the fastest route to Syria and stuck with it. To their surprise, they arrived in Syria nearly 2 hours ahead of the convoy, and there was a small reunion of friends when they all stood and talked once again. Bob McNamara, CBS News, at the Syrian-Lebanese frontier.
We're the fresh guys.
We're the fresh guys.
We're the fresh guys.
We're Wonder Bread.
We've got that fresh, fresh feeling.
It makes a bread perform.
Cause we're the Wonder Fresh guys.
We're wrapped while we're still warm.
That fresh bread feeling really makes a sandwich score.
Cause we're the Wonder Fresh guys. Come squeeze at such a store.
Feel the freshness of Wonder Bread. Enjoy fresh-tasting Wonder buns and rolls, too.
The most terrible thing that can happen to a handicapped child is nothing, nothing to do, nothing to learn, nothing. Millions of handicapped children are still not getting the special education that could help them live fuller lives. If one of them is your child, we have free information that can help. Write Closer Look, Box 1492, Washington, D.C., 20013.
A public service message from this station and the United States Office of Education.
Secretary of State Kissinger, who meets with South African Prime Minister John Forster in a Bavarian forest resort Wednesday, stresses the meeting in no way reflects U.S. endorsement of South Africa's action against black demonstrators. More than 100 blacks died as South African police used automatic weapons on rioters during 3 days of disorders last week. Kissinger said in Paris Tuesday he regrets the meeting is taking place under these circumstances. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
In Radio 97 News, the entire 12-member Canby police force may be quitting. The force has decided to close ranks behind their boss, Police Chief Vince Scaziano. He was a major figure in an unsuccessful attempt to recall the mayor and 5 city council members. The Canby City Council voted 5-1 last night to dismiss Graziano and Daryl Jones, a detective. The two were given 24 hours to resign or be fired. Canby voters rejected the recall by a 5-3 margin last week. Sorry about that. I just knocked the heck out of the microphone there. Columbia River Compact has reaffirmed its position to keep the small areas immediately below McNary, John Day, and the Dalles Dams permanently closed to commercial fishing. Migrating salmon concentrate in these Indian Treaty areas of the Columbia River. Compact also granted a 3-day extension for a special commercial shad fishing season in the Columbia, due to end at 10 tonight. Federal judge has ordered the state of Washington to ban commercial salmon fishing off the coast until July 1st. U.S. District Court Judge Robert Maloney signed the formal order in Portland today. Governor Bob Straub has until July something to decide whether to allow extradition of American Indian Movement leader Dennis Banks to South Dakota. Circuit Court Judge Pat Dooley set the final date today in Portland. Deputy District Attorney Dave Hattrick says the governor is ready to issue a decision on June 25th, but the judge says it's too soon for Banks and Banks' California attorney Dennis Roberts to appear in court. Oregon Republicans are holding caucuses in the four congressional districts this weekend to select delegates to the August Republican National Convention in Kansas City. Already, there are reports of possible fights for party control. Steve Young, state Republican chairman, told the Oregon Journal, "The Huss people will try to take over the party again this year." He was referring to the Reverend Walter Huss and his wife, Rosalie. Huss is a Portland minister who's led attempts to insult his supporters and state and county Republican officers. Weather forecast is missing. Governor Bob Straub says that there is a loss of cheap federal power. Umatilla County could lose the proposed Alumax aluminum plant. Stay in touch with 97 News.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. In the musical version of J.M. Barrie's Peter Pan, Captain Hook sings of himself, among other things, as the slimiest slime in the world. In my gallery of vampires, werewolves, murderers, ghosts, and witches, to me, the one who tops the captain's estimate is the confidence man who plays on the agony and confusion of people who have just undergone a shattering personal tragedy. This is a story, to quote Captain Hook again, of one of the crookiest crooks in the world.
My darling. Darling.
Tom, it's you. It's your voice.
You mustn't worry about me. I am here to talk to you from the beyond whenever you wish. Please come every day.
I will. But how? Why can't I see you?
Shh. Everything will be revealed in time. I cannot speak too long.
No. Don't leave me yet. When can I speak to you again?
Whenever the Swami builds the bridge from where you are to the beyond. To where I live in the land of the dead. The dead.
Mystery drama, The Dead Deserve to Rest, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Jennifer Harmon. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
To the man who fought the Skyhawk, to the girl in the century, we're glad you like your Buicks, glad you set your spirit free.
And to the family from Ohio, to the folks up in St. Paul, nice to see you join us, nice to see you all.
Do you know that over 450,000 people have already bought 1976 Buicks?
No.
No, we didn't know that.
You like your Buick, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
A lot?
Uh-huh. A lot, yeah.
Yeah.
There's probably nothing you don't like about your Buick, right?
I can't think of a thing.
Well, we could probably even say you love your Buick, right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. We could say that I love my Buick. That's right.
In fact, I'll bet you wouldn't trade that Buick for $1 million.
Oh, I wouldn't bet that.
Oh, he bet it, didn't he? Okay, it's a bet. Here's the Buick. Where is the cashola? Let me see it. I don't think he's coming across.
It's nice to see you join us. We're glad it came to be.
Buick, dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone.
Did you know that there are just about 21 million Americans over 16 who can't read? Not even a want ad or a job application. And another generation right behind them. Kids in the inner cities, on reservations, and in Appalachia who may never learn to read. This is Michael Learned for RIF. Reading is fundamental. It's a national nonprofit program with more than 400 local projects all over the country that help kids help themselves to read by giving them the incentive and the books. RIF's goal in this bicentennial year is to get 25 million books into the hands of 5 million children. Books they can choose for themselves and keep for their own. But to keep going and keep helping, RIF needs your help. Send a tax-deductible check or money order to RIF. It's tough to ask for money, and RIF knows it's tough to give it. But think how much tougher life would be if you couldn't read. Please, send your donation to RIF, Box 23444, Washington, D.C., 20024.
Robert Burns, who said, "Man's inhumanity to man makes countless thousands mourn." Some people, all unaware, seem marked for tragedy, like Letitia Meredith, née Henderson, a bride who never had a chance to be a wife, and who was marked for such tragedy and such haunting interference in her attempt to bind up her wounds and forget that she might have been Electra or any other of those doomed women in a Greek tragedy. The first interference in her life was fate, not man, except accidentally.
Lord knows what's tied onto the car or what crazy things my friends may have set up, Tig.
I couldn't care less. There's nothing anyone can do to touch us now, Tom.
We're married. We've got it made, honey, all the way. Come on, climb in.
No, you go first and slide over to the wheel.
Oh, no, ma'am. I help my bride over the first threshold. Oh, there. Now I run around and climb in to take over.
And live 100 years together.
Like me and your mother.
Oh, don't worry. This is only the beginning.
Tom! Tom, look out for that bad man!
How is she today, Belle?
I don't really know, Jim. They still have her under sedation, and I suppose she's half in shock.
At least, thank the Lord, she had no physical injuries.
I don't know how much that'll help when she finally comes to. I'm terrified she'll lose her mind.
Oh, honey, our Tish has more backbone than that.
But when the full realization that Tom is dead hits her...
We'll just have to see her through somehow.
Not quite the same as the husband she planned to spend her whole life with.
We are her mother and father.
And we love her. But in this awful thing... Oh, Jim, how could we help her?
I know one way I can. I started suit against the driver of that car that killed Tom.
What good can being vindictive do? The boy didn't mean it.
The boy was 32 years old. He's been drinking, and with all that ice on the road, he was still driving like a maniac. That boy killed my daughter's husband.
Well, isn't it enough for him to have that on his conscience? He's never had trouble before, and clapping him in jail.
No, I'm not talking about a criminal suit. That's up to the police. I'm talking about a civil suit.
What's the difference?
Damages, money.
Oh, Tish doesn't need money. You said Tom had insurance, and anyway, she has us.
She's 22, Belle. She had a probable 50 years of support to be expected from her husband. Even $50,000 worth of insurance wouldn't begin to cover that.
Well, how much will you sue for?
$3 million.
What?
They'll settle for $1 million.
$1 million? I don't think
Tish won't help her now, Belle, but someday, maybe, she'll thank me for that.
Dad'll bring the bags in, Tish. Want to go right upstairs or sit down for a moment?
I don't care. Downstairs, maybe.
Tired, dear?
No, it's just... Right now, I only have one wish in the world. Why didn't I die with him? Why didn't he kill us both?
That you, Jim?
Yes, Belle.
It stopped snowing, hasn't it?
It just started in again. Looks like we're due for a real Wisconsin blizzard. How are you, dear?
A hothouse plant. I stayed indoors all day. You'd better mix yourself a drink.
Yeah, don't worry. I'm glad the suggestion came from you. How's Tish?
I don't know, Jim. 3 whole months. She just can't seem to shake it.
You gotta give it time, Belle.
I know, but I don't think it's going to be here, darling. I think she's got to get away. Away from Milwaukee and all her old associations. And away from herself.
After today, she's going to be able to go pretty much wherever she wants. She is a very rich young lady.
They settled the suit.
Mm-hmm. For $1 million.
Oh.
To a new beginning, maybe.
What's a new beginning?
Oh,
Tish. Oh, I didn't hear you come down.
Not deliberate. I guess in a way I'm a sort of a ghost.
Oh, Tish.
I might as well tell you I'm thinking of cutting and running.
Where would you go? What would you do?
I was a working girl before Tom and I met each other. But it was here we did meet. I've been thinking if I got away, far away. I mean, with my own savings and Tom's insurance,
Honey, let me tell you something. Money's no problem. I have just made a settlement which gives you quite an enormous amount of money.
How much?
For Tom's death... $1 million.
As recompense?
For gross carelessness.
Would you consider that a fair exchange?
Tish, honey, that's a hell of a thing to say to me.
I'm sorry, Daddy. Of course it was unfair. That's me these days. I should be grateful. So, suddenly I'm a millionaire. What'll I do with it?
It was the only, best way I knew to help.
I know. But getting born all over again depends most on self-help. So here I go.
Where, Tish?
Oh, the biggest, noisiest, coldest... Oh, not cold like poor old Milwaukee, but cold-shouldery. The best place I can think of to be really alone because it's so packed with people too busy with their own affairs. The best place to learn to really tough it out. And a town I can really have something in common with. New York.
Oh, hello.
Hi, kid. I'm your bunkie down the hall. Could I borrow a cup of sugar?
I'm terribly sorry, but I just moved in and I don't even have staples yet.
Oh, who needs them? You could always send out.
Send out?
Baby, this is the village. Anything you want. Pizza, hero sandwich, Chinese, enchiladas, rum cake, you name it. Forget the cup of sugar. Just a ploy, honey.
What?
A ploy. Gimmick. Like in chess, a gambit. You dig?
It's an opening move, sort of.
Well, I know you just moved in a couple of days ago and you look kind of down in the dumps and lonely. So I figured I'd amble over and get us acquainted. I'm Hank Plank. How did that grab you for a name? What's your handle?
I'm Letitia Hender. I mean Meredith.
Well, it ain't the second name that needs changing. It's the first. Like, my straight name is Henrietta, but I didn't go for dragging that around all my life, so I got it to be Hank.
Well, as a matter of fact, everyone calls me Tish.
Gesundheit height.
Oh, it's not that bad.
I'm only putting you on. I like it.
Would you like to come in, Hank?
I tell you what, kid, let's put it this way. Would you like me to come in?
Yes, I think maybe you're just what I need. You're funny, and I could use a laugh or two.
Oh, I'll come in. Listen, when you're 5'2" and 160 pounds like me, you're a barrel of laugh. And that's before I open my mouth even, which, like you see, is as big as my waist.
And I'll bet your heart.
Well, I dig people is all. All kinds. Hey, that's a nice place you got. So what's the trouble, baby? Money?
That's the least of my worries.
Oh, that's nice. It's the only real one I got. It's a man. That's the reason for the mix-up in the last names, right? He walk out on you, the bum?
Oh, no. He was killed. A car hit him. Right after we were married. And as he was getting into our car in front of the church.
Oh, holy cow. Well, you want me to leave by the window head first?
Oh, no, no, please don't go. Hank, I just want somebody to talk to about him.
Come on, sit on the couch, Tish. You'd never believe it, but I got big ears, too. All the better to listen with. Go ahead, honey. Spill.
Yes? You with it?
Oh, I've been waiting for you, Hank.
Well, listen, let's get this show on the road. I've got a hunch today's going to be a big one.
Oh, you think we'll get a job?
I don't know. I just got vibes something big is going to happen.
Well, I hope it's for you.
And I better land something pretty soon or I'll end up on relief.
Now, don't be silly. You know I've plenty of money.
Kid, you're the first solid gold millionaires I ever knew, but don't get me wrong. I'd never borrow a cent. I'd go on a diet first. Hank here owes nobody nothing.
But after all you've done for me these last few days, listening to me moping and weeping and carrying on, feeding and looking after me like a mother hen.
You had to clean out the old system. I just happened to be around. But hear this.
What?
You are too trusting, little Nell. Don't you go around shooting off your mouth to just anybody. This is a big, bad city with more con men, deadbeats, and just plain thieves licking their lips waiting for a pigeon to come along.
I've never spilled my heart out to anyone like that, Hank. Anyone but Tom.
Okay. Close book. Hey, listen, now, make sure that front door closes tight, huh?
Yeah, I will. Okay, let's see if I got a letter telling me I won the lottery.
Cupboard is bare. Aren't you going to open your box?
What for? Nobody to write to me. Even Mom and Dad don't know my address yet.
You better open it. Looks like there's something there.
Oh, all right. Hey, there is something here. A letter.
Probably from some local store marked resident.
No, it's addressed to me. My married name. Who on earth could...
Well, what is it, honey?
I can't. Hey, listen. Hank, listen to this. My poor bereaved Mrs. Meredith. No words of mine can adequately express my grief at your deep sorrow. I would hesitate to intrude, except that it is at the request of your own dear husband. He spoke to me last night from beyond the veil and begged me to reach you immediately and tell you that he is calling for you.
Here's a startling twist, which is only the beginning of a long, twisted chain of events. Who is the writer of this mysterious letter who apparently possesses supernatural powers? How else, in a city of 8 million, could he have reached unerringly to find one girl, alone, away from friends or family, none of whom know where to reach her? Unless... could Hank have been the one to let him know? I'll return shortly with some of the answers and Act Two.
Comes a time for just about all of us to experience a certain emotional crisis. How we handle it can determine the rest of our lives. The current Family Circle magazine examines the doubts and fears that can suddenly beset women in their middle 30s. Doubts about marriage, career, the future. It's that last chance feeling which may cause them to look for romantic diversions or for new jobs. The wife of a prominent Washington figure conquered this midlife crisis, for example, by developing her own identity. Another important Family Circle article cautions about the drawbacks of lithium, the psychiatric drug sometimes prescribed against manic depression. The July Family Circle cover features an embroidery of summer flowers for which directions are inside. Incidentally, did you know that last month's issue contained more than $2.40 worth of national brand coupons? Added value from Family Circle, the world's largest selling woman's magazine. Just 39 cents at your supermarket checkout counter. This is Jack Sterling.
Hi, this is Andre Fisher with Rufus.
Today, many high school graduates who want to go to college find they can't meet the high cost of higher education. If college money is a problem for you, then I'd like to talk to you for a moment about a plan that will not only pay your tuition, but also pay you a monthly allowance while you're in school. What's the plan? It's the Naval Reserve Officers Training Corps program. If you can qualify, NROTC will pay the cost of your college tuition plus $100 monthly cash allowance. And when you graduate, you'll join the finest of America's land, sea, and air team as a Navy ensign or a second lieutenant in the Marine Corps. It's never too early to plan for a future with an exciting career. And you can start today by talking to your high school counselor or local Navy recruiter about NROTC. Call the Navy toll-free 800-841-8000.
Shocked and startled almost out of her wits by the incredible content of this strange letter, Tish hands it to Hank to read to her.
He spoke to me last night from beyond the veil and begged me to reach you immediately and tell you he is calling for you. Since I realize my words may be confusing and even shocking to you, I would like to explain. I couldn't reach you by phone, so I decided I was bound in all conscience to write and inform you of your husband's urgent request. I am only the medium in this, but I do suggest you contact me either by phone or at the above address. I will be at your service at any time. My work, my duty, and my joy is the service of all mankind. Yours in the service of the eternal spirit, which makes us one. Dr. Pavit Krishna. Wow.
Who is this man, Hank?
Oh, no, search me. 91601 Park Avenue, fancy neighborhood. The Temple of Transcendent Truth.
What does this mean?
I don't know. I guess he's like not a doctor, but more like a guru or a swami, you know?
But it's impossible. The whole thing's impossible.
What do you mean?
Well, how could he know how to find me? I spent 3 months like a zombie after Tom was killed. Then I made up my mind I couldn't go on like that, so I picked up my skirts and ran, hid out. I didn't want anyone, least of all Dad and Mom, whom I loved, to know where I was.
How come?
Because they... Oh, they don't realize it, but they've always protected me. Wrapped me in cotton, given me too much love and not enough self-reliance. That's what I've realized I have to build for myself if I have to have my life. So I came to New York and... God was sure smiling on me to let me find you.
Oh, yes, some big treasure.
You don't realize. I mean, after I blew off steam and you rode out the storm with me, I honest to Pete thought I had a chance.
A chance at what?
Oh, I don't know. Coming to grips with myself. Making myself a person. Building some real backbone. But this... This has just turned me all to jelly.
I don't get that quite.
You see, I was brought up to believe in a world after death, but I never thought... I mean, I don't think I could believe in communicating between somebody alive and somebody who's...
Dead, huh? You mean you think the doctor here is a phony?
I don't know what to think. How could he be since he found me? What do you think?
Well, I don't see how this guy could be a phony. What could it hurt to at least give him a phone call?
I think maybe I just ought to go there.
Well, you couldn't go wrong at that address. Want to use my phone to make an appointment?
Yes. What have I got to lose?
Sure. What do you got to lose?
Oh, yes, Madame Meredith. I know the doctor was in great hope that you would answer his letter. He's most anxious to see you.
Well, I still don't understand how he managed to locate me.
I would not know. I am just his receptionist.
You're French?
I am from Algiers. My ancestry is mixed. If you will have a seat, please. A gentleman is with the master.
I'm a little confused. This is not a medical office?
Oh, yes. In part.
You wear a nurse's uniform.
I am a nurse. And the doctor, as you can see from the evidence on the wall, is a licensed physician.
But the Temple of Transcendent Truth...
Ah, that has become his full life work. There are many steps to the truth.
But I...
Oh, he is here himself now. He will explain.
But you're sure you can't help me somehow? Everyone says you can work miracles, Dr. Papakrishna.
I work no miracles, Mr. Young. For some people, I can show the way. Not for all.
Why not for me?
Because your heart is not truly open. Because you come in doubt. There is no truth without faith. No bridge that can be built without belief.
But
if you'll excuse me, Mr. Young, the doctor has someone waiting. An emergency case. It's Madame Meredith, Master.
Ah, I am so relieved. You will please come with me, Mrs. Meredith. We have much to talk about.
Oh, I don't understand why, when we don't even know each other.
All will be revealed in time. Please, to follow me. Show Mr. Young out, Sister Maries.
But how did you find me? Or know where to find me?
Your husband told me when he broke through to me.
Tom is dead.
Ah, death is only another state of the spirit. And the spirit is endless and infinite.
But I... When he died, he... Even Tom couldn't have known I would come to New York.
From Milwaukee. Away from the house of your father and mother, Mr. and Mrs. James Henderson, who live on Summer Street at 125.
How could you know about them?
Because your husband told me. He is worried about you. There is an evil force gathering about you. He is concerned about the money.
Oh, I don't care about the money. But what was it Tom wanted to tell me?
I think you should let him tell you himself.
Tom? But how can he? Don't you understand? He's dead. He isn't anymore.
Ah, hush, my child. No one is never anymore.
I'm just so confused.
There is confusion. Because you do not yet know the light. Listen to my words. Don't fight me. Try to think. Just make your mind a blank. Leave it an open slate to be written upon, and all will be clear. Your eyes are heavy. Heavy. Heavier now. The eyelids will not stay open. They close. There is no light behind them. Only the soothing dark and peace, peace, rest and peace. And you are asleep, asleep, asleep. So, no reaction.
Is she under?
Yes, completely. Prepare the syringe and bring it back. She must feel well and joyous when she wakes.
Yours to command. Mine to obey.
I wonder. I may rule the others, but you know that I am your slave. You are still in a trance, Mrs. Meredith. But you may open your eyes. There. How do you feel?
At rest.
Splendid. Now you are going to answer me some very intimate questions about your relationship with the man you loved and married. And he called you Tish?
No. Everyone else did. Tom wanted his own name.
What did he call you?
Anne. My full name is Letitia Anne.
Did he have a high voice?
No.
Low?
Not growly. Like yours a little, but younger.
More like this?
Yes. Well, not quite.
Did he say, Anne, I love you more than anyone else in the world?
Yes. Yes, that's Tom. Only he'd say, Anne, I love you a million.
When you hear this voice you are hearing now, you will know it as Tom's. You will know it as certainly as the sun rises.
I will know it as Tom's.
Tom left you a very rich woman. $1 million.
It was like blood money. I will never use it, only for some worthwhile charity.
Would you sign it over to the Temple of Transcendent Truth?
I don't know. I don't know what it is.
It is a church and a refuge. You could live here in the retreat with all of us who have given our lives to the pursuit of oneness.
I don't know.
Would you, if Tom told you to?
I don't know. I'd have to ask him.
Then you shall ask Tom.
Yamin.
Shh, Maris. Listen to me, Mrs. Meredith. What I am going to tell you, you will remember when you wake. Everything else you will forget. Remember only one thing. Ask Tom what to do with the money and obey him as your husband. You understand?
Yes, I will ask him and do as he tells me.
She is being difficult.
You know that even under hypnotism, I cannot force anyone against his will. You have the hypo?
Yes.
Good. Give it to her now, so she will feel the joy and release when she leaves. Then I will wake her, and we will bring her to the sanctuary.
Oh, where are we? I feel as if I've fallen asleep or something.
This is what we call the sanctuary.
Oh.
Here the outside world disappears like the illusion it is. And the truth is all. The oneness of the spirit. The bridge from life to life.
Why did you bring me here? To this dark place?
To talk with your husband. As I did.
Call. Call your husband.
Tom? Tom?
Anne. Anne, darling.
It's you. Your voice.
Listen to me, Anne, my darling. You mustn't worry about me. Only about all those around you in your physical life. I am here to talk to you from the beyond. Whenever you want. Whenever the good doctor builds the bridge. But it would be easier if you stayed here in the retreat.
Is that what you want me to do?
That is up to Dr. Pavit Krishna. Mrs. Meredith, that is enough for one day. Maris, please, open the door. You will rest a minute now before you go home.
Excuse me, miss.
Please, I'm sorry. I'm not feeling very well.
Well, I wouldn't bother you except that we have seen each other before.
We have?
Yeah, in Dr. Pavit Krishna's office. I came out while you were waiting to go in.
Oh, yes, yes. But I'm sorry, whoever you are.
Oh, Gary. Gary Young.
I just can't talk at the moment. I'm too... Oh, please let me go.
I only wanted to ask you, did he bring you any relief at all?
Oh, could you get me a cab, please? I think I'm going to pass out.
Yeah, sure. Just give me your address. I'll see you home. There you are. You want me to open your door for you?
Oh, if I could just find my keys.
Hey, Tish.
Hey, what gives here? I went to see, this gentleman was nice enough to see me home. You know her?
No.
Okay, chum, then thanks and blow, okay? I'll take over.
Yeah.
Hey, you still here?
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know who you are, mister, but...
Ooh.
You're looking for patsies? Don't take me on. You make one wrong move, I just as soon
cut your throat.
Hey,
tiger, down, down. No sweat, no problems, and a little advice for you later. But first, the credentials. You get the message?
Police?
Shh. Detective Young, first homicide. Now, you want to put that carving knife away and let's you and me talk turkey?
Now that the twisted, complicated chain I talked about is forged, remember the slimiest slime in the world? The crook who feeds on human grief and loss and far too often gets away with it? Usually this greedy grub stays just inside the law and never steps over the line. If you want to know if he manages to get away with it this time again, why don't you join me after these short messages for Act 3?
There's a season coming up, there's a reason coming up to get ready for a better taste of life. And the aromatic helps you do it right.
With the home canning season coming up, remember this. The Miromatic Aluminum Pressure Canner lets you can all kinds of food safely. And the Miromatic Pressure Canner is the only one that comes in seven sizes, from 2.5 to 22 quart. One is right for your family. And only the Miromatic Pressure Canner has an unbreakable one-piece control with 3 pressure settings. So the Miromatic you use for canning is also a versatile pressure cooker. Use it year-round to make tasty meals in 1/3 the time of conventional methods. The Miromatic Cooker Canner, to get ready for a better taste of life.
Miromatic helps you do it right.
Hey, folks, now's the time to start building that backyard swimming pool you've always wanted. Have you ever heard that line before? Well, this is Gene King for the Council of Better Business Bureaus, and if you want a swimming pool and feel you can afford it, fine. But don't forget that you have to be extremely careful in making this purchase, just as you're careful in buying a new car. Be sure to deal with a reputable contractor or dealer. And before you sign on the dotted line, think about how much you want to spend and what other accessories, such as slides, you might want. And speaking of swimming pool slides, effective in mid-July of this year, the Consumer Product Safety Commission has issued a mandatory safety standard for their manufacture and construction. Slide manufacturers must establish certain requirements for the materials used, provide the buyer with illustrated instructions and warning signs, and recommend minimum water depths. If you're looking at slides right now, make sure the one you buy is safe for use in your own backyard.
The mystery at the core of this story is still how Dr. Pavit Krishna could have divined the information he had to begin with, unless he is a true psychic. Any suspicion of Henrietta as an informant is long since laid to rest. And even doubting the authenticity of Detective Gary Young's badge and credentials, there is no way he could have known who Henrietta is or what connection she has with Tish. So, let us proceed to the proof of the pudding.
What you're telling me is that this crook preys off old women and widows and ladles off the dough. He's a big number one phony, right?
In my book.
So why haven't you nailed him sooner?
Because we can't get anyone to testify against him. Now, I can't prove it, but at least 2 older women who've left money in their wills to his temple, died. Kind of very convenient.
You mean he's a murderer?
The whole setup smells. Now, I tried to con my way in as a broken-hearted son looking to reach his mother, but somehow that spider smelled me out. What I'm trying to say is, your little Mrs. Meredith, after the sad story you've told me, and if she is worth all that money, is just the kind of pigeon that's made for his racket.
Well, what do you want me to do about it?
Hang on to her. Hold her back till I get a chance to do a little research on all you've told me. With a little luck, we can set a trap to pin that bald-headed eagle to the wall.
Mrs. Henderson?
Yes?
This is Detective Gary Young, New York Police calling.
Oh, no. Has something happened to
you? No. There's nothing wrong with your daughter, Mrs. Henderson. I just talked to her within the last hour, so she's fine. But, well, there are a couple of questions I wanted to ask you.
Of course, as long as Tish is okay, ask anything you want.
Yeah. Have you received any calls about her during the last week?
Why, yes. There was a call from a man. I never did get his name quite straight, but he said that he had a job for my daughter, but didn't have her New York address. I was quite upset because I didn't have it either. The best I could do was suggest she might have located my old neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. And where would that be, ma'am?
Oh, years ago, before I was married and settled down, I had an apartment in Greenwich Village. Silly romanticism, maybe, but when Tish took off for New York, I thought she'd be safer and happier there than anywhere. But how would you know she had gone to New York or to call me?
Well, Mrs. Henderson, the tragic circumstances of her husband's death made all the wire services. I've dug that out of back newspaper files. And the big settlement for damages was another big story.
Detective Young, is Tish in trouble?
No, nothing I can't handle. Now, you leave it up to me, and don't worry. I'll call on you if I need help.
I think you're kind of trapped in a big-time con game.
How?
I told you, Tish, there was nothing supernatural. This guru schmuru picked up your story in a countrywide press release.
All right, perhaps he could have. But how could he know my address? Personal things like what my husband called me, all that?
Look, don't ask me, but why don't you give Gary Young a chance to explain?
Oh, you just went hook, line, and sinker for a good-looking cop, and he can make you believe anything he wants.
Yeah, I wish that was the truth. I wouldn't have to be asked to give in.
You can wake up now, Tish. Are you awake?
Yes.
Would you like to talk about the money?
No.
But you do want to talk to Tom?
Oh, yes.
That money preys upon your mind, does it not?
Yes.
Then why not let Tom suggest what to do with it?
Yes. I would do what Tom asked. That would be right.
Very well, then. That is arranged. We shall go to the sanctuary to meet Tom. Maurice, give her the injection before I bring her out of the hypnosis.
I can't get anywhere with her, Mr. Young. I mean, when she comes back from that temple, like she calls it, it's like she was hypnotized.
She probably is. And I wouldn't put it past him to use drugs.
The worst part of it all is she's talking about moving into the house with all the other creeps, because then she can talk to Tom whenever she wants. How can he fool her like that? She's not dumb.
Post-hypnotic suggestion, stimulants to make her feel on a high after her supposed talks, the letdown when they wear off that drags her back.
You mean he has her hooked?
He knows he's being watched. That guy has the intuition of a cat. Maybe he does have some real ESP. I figure he's after one big score and then blow. And your friend Tish has just the kind of stake he and his girlfriend need. We've got to figure something desperate.
Yamin, time is running out for us. I feel it. We must figure something out.
I know, but for some reason I cannot break her down. How do I get that $1 million from her?
Where is it?
In Milwaukee, in a safe deposit box.
In real money?
Better than that.
What is better than money?
Diamonds.
Diamonds?
Her father is in the business. When she did not want the money for herself, he persuaded her to invest. And he bought for her diamonds.
Oh.
Perfect for us. Untraceable. Good as or better than gold. Ah. In South America, we could live like kings.
If we had them.
We are going to get them. And we are not going to wait. Get everything packed and ready for us to leave.
But how are we going to get into the safe deposit box?
She is going to do that for us, under hypnosis, at her ghostly husband's suggestion.
And then?
I cannot keep her hypnotized forever. It will be like the other two. She will have to die.
You can't.
can't be serious.
Tish, baby, give Detective Young a break. Listen to him.
You've got to listen. It's all a big con game.
But how could the doctor have gotten my address without Tom...
Well, the same way I did. I called your mother in Milwaukee.
But Mother doesn't know my address here.
She gave me enough of a lead. She said Greenwich Village. So I called your real estate agent. She confirmed what I suspected. Someone called her 10 days ago saying he had a job for a Mrs. Meredith but couldn't locate her.
See, honey, it's like Gary says. Once the doctor knew the village, he just kept calling agents until he found the right one.
No, I can't. I won't.
Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something else. Has he been giving you any injections, you know, as a medical man?
No.
You mean you don't know? Here, come over to the mirror. Roll over sleeve.
What are you doing to me?
Just want to show you something. You see those puncture marks on the back of your arm?
I never, but what?
Speed, probably. Some kind of amphetamine to make you feel good.
No, I don't believe it. I can't. Let go of me. I want to talk to Tom. Oh, I feel awful.
That's the bait to keep dragging you back. Okay, Tish. And I'm going to call you that because we're all in this, sink or swim. You'll go back, but not until you sweat a lot of things out of your system.
Where in the devil is she? This is the second appointment she has missed.
Well, we can't call her. She doesn't have a phone yet. Shall I go to the apartment and...
No. We'll give her one more day. Then we will have to make a move.
Okay, Gary. I've been a stupid, romantic, gullible little fool. I should have realized, remembering Tom, that he'd never have gone with this, no matter where he is. I think I owe him something for making him out as foolish as me. Okay, let's get busy setting houses in order. What do I do?
Well, it's simple. And I hope not too dangerous. Now, they're hungry for money. I think we can catch them off guard. The first thing is this. Nobody can be hypnotized if they don't want to. I'll show you a trick which is guaranteed that it won't work. Then, after that, do everything he wants to. Pretend to agree. Try to get him to lay out everything he has in mind. Now, you'll have the radio transmitter in your pocket, no bigger than a pack of cigarettes, and the mic is here. You see in this brooch? We'll have the house covered. If you get in any real trouble, press here against the pack. That's an alarm. And if not, go with it. And trust me.
Mrs. Meredith, I have missed you the last 2 days.
I'm sorry. I was thinking.
What were you thinking?
About the money you asked for the temple. You may have it, if that is what Tom wants.
Did you bring the safe deposit key? As Tom asked you to?
Yes.
Does anyone know where you are today?
No.
Splendid. And you are ready to do exactly what I say, as your dear husband asked you to?
Yes.
Then sleep for a moment. Rest. Rest, my dear.
I heard it all. Now?
Now. We're packed. The car's in front. You have the plane tickets. We take her to Milwaukee. Once she has opened the box, she has to die. It is almost dark. Come. There is much to do. I am quite sure I have her under. But hold her tight, Maryse. We take no chances. Put her in the middle, between us. Mrs. Meredith?
Yes?
Climb into the car, my dear. That's right. Now you, Maryse, and I will go around to the driver's side.
All right, doctor. Hold it right there.
What? Who?
Police, don't move. You're covered. Look out, you crazy... Doctor, watch it! You all right, Tish?
Yes, I think I fainted. What happened to the doctor?
He was killed. Crazy madman who came in that car from nowhere.
Did you find him?
No, he turned the corner, disappeared into thin air.
just like the man who killed my Tom.
No. No comparison. This wasn't much loss. But we'll find the car just like the Milwaukee police found the man who...
Don't. The past is really dead now. And somehow, Gary, I don't think you ever will find this driver. Because I saw him just before the car hit.
Oh? Could you recognize him if you saw him again?
Yes, only I never will. I told you the past is dead. The man behind the wheel was Tom.
Well, there's poetic irony for you. Or is it? Was it only an illusion in the brain of a tired and tortured girl? Or could Dr. Papakrishna, meddling in powers beyond him, the powers of darkness and evil, have raised up from the supernatural the instrument of his own death? We'll never know, because Tish was right. The driver of the mystery car was never found. I'll be back shortly.
When you finished putting up a picket fence, and putting up a picket fence about finished you, then it's time for country time.
It's time for country time. It's time for country time. The lemonade tastes a good old-fashioned country time.
It's time for new Country Time lemonade-flavored drink mix. Anytime you worked up an old-fashioned thirst for the taste of old-fashioned lemonade, new Country Time from General Foods in the yellow and brown can.
She was tooling down a country road when her radiator sneezed, and then it blowed. She used a pace CB and started hollering, "Breaker, breaker, this is Sweetheart." Well, there's people with a pace all over the place, and Sweetheart started a human race. Semis and campers and helicopters. When you're in a fix, you'll draw a crowd. When you got a pace, for crying out loud. When you got a pace CB, you got the world by the ears. Pace CB two-way radios for your car, home, and business. See them today at your nearby pace dealer.
Maurice is no longer in the country, shipped out as an undesirable alien. Tish, being young, and time being the best of healers, found the best of use for those diamonds. They equipped and staffed a halfway house for young people to escape and shake their individual drug habits. She has found another doctor, the head one at the clinic, and this one she will marry soon. She doesn't go often to New York, but when she does, it's to visit her best friends, Mr. and Mrs. Gary Young. That's the ex-Hank Plank, who has shed an uncomfortable name and 35 pounds along with it. Our cast included Jennifer Harmon, Russell Horton, Martha Greenhouse, William Redfield, and Terry Keene. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
I was led to the edge of the forest, the Forbidden Forest, by my teacher and sponsor, Death.
Are you frightened, Gold?
No.
Say the truth.
Well, yes.
Remember what I taught you?
Yes, I remember.
They're very good fighters inside. Never let a woman get close enough to use her dagger.
I remember.
Oh. You won't remember. In the heat of the fight, you'll do what's in your heart.
I wish I knew what was in my heart.
Before this night is over, you may find out.
This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Leonard Pye sits in for Bill Garrity and the Moonwatch next after CBS News at 12 midnight. This is AM 97, KOIN Portland. In 2 seconds, 1 second, it'll be 12 midnight.
CBS News. A battle for control of a Palestinian camp threatens to undo the latest ceasefire in Lebanon. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. There's been some improvement in the situation in war-torn Lebanon. Libyan mediation efforts have succeeded in ending battles between the Syrian army and Palestinian Lebanese leftist forces. And the first contingent of the Pan-Arab Peacekeeping Force, a Libyan unit, has taken up positions around Beirut Airport, which is expected to reopen today. But a stubborn artillery and mortar duel continues at the Palestinian camp of Tel al-Zata, ringed by Lebanese Christian right-wingers. A right-wing radio station in Beirut reported last night that the Christians had captured the nearby Jiza al-Basha refugee camp, but there's been no confirmation of that from other sources. Each side has accused the other of starting the fighting. While it's too early to know what effect the continued conflict will have on the latest ceasefire, some observers worry aloud it could be the spark to set off a new conflagration. CBS News continues following this message.
We're the fresh kinds from Wonder Bread. Give us a squeeze and feel the freshness for yourself. We're wrapped warm from the oven in Stay Fresh wrappers. You can feel it when you squeeze us on a shelf.
Yes, sir, because I'm a fresh guy from Wonder Bread.
Hey, what about me?
In my Stay Fresh wrapper, I'm a star.
What a lot of crust. Every loaf of Wonder's wrapped warm from the oven.
We're the fresh guys from Wonder Bread.
Fresh Wonder Bread. Buns and rolls, too.
Hear ye, hear ye. Announcing the CBS Radio Network's bicentennial holiday weekend. 3 days of special broadcasts celebrating the nation's birthday. CBS News correspondent Dan Rather brings you America This I Believe, our 35 broadcast special starring Americans talking about their lives and this country. Stay tuned throughout the July 4th holiday weekend for America This I Believe, a bicentennial celebration on the CBS Radio Network.
The U.S. Agriculture Department estimates Soviet grain production this year will fall short of Kremlin target levels, but should show dramatic improvement over last year's drought-devastated crop. In Russia, however, concern focuses now on too much rain, as we hear from Dennis Blewett.
Rains which have battered farms in the western area of the Soviet Union are already raising fears that the country may suffer another crop failure. Over 12 inches of rain have fallen in the Moscow region in the past 2 months. Another crop failure would be a serious blow for a nation which is just beginning to feel the effects of last year's disastrous harvest. A mild form of food rationing has been introduced in the state shops in Moscow. An individual shopper may purchase a maximum of 4 pounds of meat, 1 pound of butter, and 30 eggs. But Moscow is believed to be a privileged city, and in far-off country areas of the Soviet Union, the food problem is more severe. Dennis Blewett for CBS News, Moscow.
The latest Consumer Price Index report, a jump of 0.6% in May, is causing ripples of concern in some quarters that a new round of runaway inflation is getting underway. But economist Walter Heller says there's no reason for surprise or alarm.
We shouldn't get neurotic about this whole price thing now. That's a one-month jump. I think actually the majority of forecasters have felt that, indeed more than felt, they've actually laid it on the line and said that for the year the inflation rate will be around 5 to 6%. Well, that meant that the first 3 months of the year when prices rose less than 3% was kind of a happy accident.
Picket lines have come down at a Boston sewage treatment plant, the first break in the 3-day strike by some 20,000 Massachusetts state employees. But pickets still are posted at hospitals and prisons, actions that caused Governor Michael Dukakis yesterday to say he was very distressed at the failure to provide essential services. Leaders of a coalition of striking public service unions were ordered last night by a judge to end the strike or expect to be jailed. Now this.
With us on the 13th and 14th of this month, that's a week from tomorrow, better hop to it and call Gene at Tour Marketing at 223-7355. We'll hope to see you up there. My name is Tom Morgan, leaving you for another 24 hours. I'll rejoin you tomorrow night after the Blazers win. This is KOIN Portland.
CBS News. The January unemployment figures are due for release Friday. Ford administration economists hope they will show a decline.